Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
Jeremy, we are doing episode 66.
This is 66?
It is 66. Wow. It is the last of our Loose Deuce spinoffs.
Mm.
Spinoff from the pop culture phenomenon back in the day of Knocked Up movie called This Is 40. You would say that Knocked Up was a big hit.
Yeah, it was. They had the... It blended the stoner comedy of Seth Rogen and the
bitchiness of
God only knows why popularity of Katherine Heigl.
At that time.
Yes, at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows why they did that, but they did do that. But this is the spinoff, This Is 40.
Correct.
With starring Paul Rudd, the characters of...
Yeah, Paul Rudd is Pete.
Pete.
And Debbie... Played by Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann. Directed by Judd Apatow.
Yes.
Judd Apatow is the husband of...
The real-life husband of Leslie Mann.
Of Leslie Mann. These are their real children.
Yes, which is great.
Judd Apatow and Leslie met on the set of The Cable Guy. Because she was in The Cable Guy.
Yeah, she was.
She was a girlfriend in The Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Judd Apatow knows Ben Stiller through The Ben Stiller Show. They went and created The Ben Stiller Show, so that's how all that is connected.
Yeah.
Blew your mind. Boom.
Suppose.
Just saying. That's how they met. So they've been together since The Cable Guy.
Cable Guy.
Days. So, not a stranger to black comedy. Judd Apatow is not.
No.
So, this is sort of, I don't really know how to describe this movie.
You know what? And I've been thinking a lot about this.
Oh, I have not.
It has comedy elements and everything, but I think the thing that I think we kind of thought it was going to be much more, I don't know what I thought it was going to be. It's just, it's almost like slice of life. It's trying to be like a slice of life movie.
This is exactly what I thought this movie was going to be.
Really?
Yeah, and I wasn't excited to review this movie.
I know you aren't.
Yeah. But having said that, we are going to try to pull some positives out of this, just like we always do, and maybe shine some stuff that is not positive. But you know what, Jeremy? We are also part of the No Phony Podcast Network, right? The
yes.
No Phony Network?
That's correct. The No Phony Podcast Network. Many great shows.
Many great shows.
And so we just added a new one.
Yeah.
Bible-ish. So it's a very interesting premise, so definitely check them out, along with all of the other.
And the podcast of the month is?
From the Bottom.
Right.
So it's our featured podcast, so go check them out. They've been with the network pretty much since the beginning.
I would say so.
Yeah. So definitely go check them out. Great perspective. So.
Correct.
But also, we should probably hear some promos from some other podcasts.
Sure. So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Gareth.
Yo.
Do you realize we haven't updated our promos lately?
Oh, crap. Really?
Yeah, really. Do you think maybe it's about time we kind of did that? Because I think we're a little behind with our seasons, aren't we?
Yeah, probably. What, do you want us to like, you know, do the whole promotion now of, hey, listen to us, because every week we do random facts and we do weird stories and all that kind of stuff?
No, because I like rainbows.
Do you know what I like?
What do you like?
The fact that when a frog gets sick...
Shut up.
It wants to throw
up
its stomach so that it doesn't do the...
You suck.
That's my favorite fact of all time.
Yeah, I know it is.
Do you know the good fact I know?
What's that?
Is that you can find our show on Apple Podcasts, on Spreaker, and basically anywhere where your podcasts come out of devices.
And don't forget, we also have a website, GarethRandomRamblings.com.
Yeah, I always forget that fact.
Yeah, you do.
He's just a guy, he loves to ramble randomly across the wire. It's Gareth.
And we're back.
And we're back. So in order to listen to those, use the promo code DEUCE, right?
Promo code DEUCE.
Oh, that wasn't... Oh, really?
Oh, no.
That wasn't for MailChimp?
No.
Okay.
No.
That was for Blue Apron. Thought we went big time there for a moment.
Thought we got the big time podcast sponsors.
We were. Yeah. Yeah. We're not part of the Earwolf Network? Sorry.
No.
Okay.
No, we are not.
No. But we are part of the wonderful No Phony Podcast Network. So yes. Go ahead and check those podcasts out. Use the promo code DEUCE.
To get the free downloads.
To get the free downloads that are free. Yeah. So.
All right, so...
This movie, of course, like I said before, was directed written by Judd Apatow. I'm going to say probably improvised a lot. So when we say written, that's probably loosely associated. But they are also... This movie is based on the characters that were created by Judd Apatow from the movie Knocked Up.
Yeah.
And there are many characters that join us from the first movie that join us in this movie, correct?
There are a few.
A couple of them.
Yeah. There are a few. So
Jason Segel's character shows up.
Yep. So Jason Segel's character, Jason, who's a trainer, shows up. Kind of a womanizer. Jody.
Jody, yeah.
Who's like a stoner girl.
Yeah.
In the last one, she shows up. She's working for Debbie in this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dr. Pellegrino.
Yes,
who's the gynecologist?
The gynecologist for Katherine Heigl's character.
Yes. She was in, or he was in the first one as well. So, but yeah, so, and actually, the interesting thing too is the girls, it's the same girls, the same little kids.
Well, yeah,
they're Apatow's kids.
They're Apatow's kids, yeah.
But it's kind of neat because you're always like, oh, yeah, they skipped forward and they got new different actresses. But these are those same kids.
That's true. That's good, though.
You know. Yeah.
So why don't we go ahead and drop the deuce on this one?
Okay.
It's kind of an interesting movie, a movie that maybe I wasn't expecting quite this, but I was expecting something a little not stoner-esque. Because of the lackness of Seth Rogen. There is a scene.
There's a little bit, but not so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was going to be more slapsticky a little bit or have some more of those. But to me, it was like it was trying to be more slice of life. So it was more subdued. I think in some parts it was more subdued humor-wise. And some of it was just like ad-libbed, fighty kind of.
Yeah. It's like if Apatow tried to write a Before Sunset movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought too.
And kind of didn't do a well job of it. But that's just me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the movie opens. So the opening scene, it's Pete and Debbie, again played by Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann.
Are having sex in the shower. And, they're having a good time, and then Pete says something about that he took Viagra, and of course Debbie freaks out. She doesn't want him taking Viagra. She thinks it's, I don't know if the word cheating, but like she gets upset because she's like, what, you can't
it's like get Debbie, it up without Debbie that? Doesn't well first of all Debbie doesn't claim she's 40 even though she is, so
yeah,
she always claims she's 2 or 3 years younger than what she is.
Yes.
So Debbie doesn't want to believe that you need to use medicine in order for... We're not that old.
Right.
Right. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
We're not old that we need to have that purple pill that helps us. Right? Is
blue?
Does it come in purple pill?
Xantax. Blue? Purple pill.
Hey. Maybe they're on Xantax too. I don't know.
Probably. I mean, they're 40.
Okay.
So...
I'm going to assume Debbie is.
The one for heartburn medication?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
So she gets upset, and of course they have their first kind of argument about...
Wait, what's Xantax? Is that heartburn?
Yeah. Or no, Prilosec?
Prilosec?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
Prilosec? What's Metamucil?
Prilosec is the purple thing. Xantax? I don't know. I'm confused.
This is 40. Trying to figure out
this medication.
It should have just been 2 hours of them putting together their pills and they're
filling pill boxes
through their medicine chest.
That is 2 hours of filling pill boxes at 40. So Debbie's upset. She's turning 40. Paul Rudd gets the kids, Sadie and the
younger one.
What is her name?
Just the younger one for right now.
Yes. So they get them together and they say, hey, we're going to Charlotte.
That's yes, Charlotte.
So they're going to... they get her together a breakfast, including like little candles that say 38.
Right.
And Sadie points out that she's not... You know, but isn't she 40?
Yeah, sure, that was in the trailer, but I don't think it was in the movie.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like right at the beginning.
Oh, right at the beginning. Okay. Yeah.
I know it's hard to remember what happened at the beginning of this movie.
You know, this is a long movie for a comedy, or supposedly comedy. It's a long movie.
It's kind of a dramedy.
It's kind of was marketed wrong.
Or it's a coma.
It's comedy drama. It's a coma. I felt like it was.
Yeah. So now, since the last time, so it's been 5 years since Knocked Up.
Was it really 5 years?
Yeah.
Between? Wow.
Yeah.
It had to be because those kids were really young.
Yeah. Which means that Sadie was like 8 at the time and Charlotte was like 3.
So basically, what's her character from Knocked Up was like a friend of hers, wasn't it? Or yes. Were they both friends?
He
became friends with Ben after.
Yeah, he became friends with Ben afterwards, yeah. But they were Allison's friend.
Yeah, they were Allison's. Yeah.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah, everybody, you know, here? She's not there to say happy birthday to her.
I know.
Call right. her.
No, so when we saw the trailer for Knocked Up in the movie theater,
okay,
I was with my friend Ben, and Ben's sister is named Allison. And when the trailer played, it's like, Ben and Allison had a one night blah blah blah. And Ben goes, holy shit. Just started laughing. I'm like, dude, this is so gross.
Go ahead.
So Debbie owns a boutique. And she has two employees. Remember.
Well, I mean, we didn't really get a lot of like what they did. So, you know what I mean?
In this?
No, in the first one.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we did.
Yeah.
She owns a boutique, like a clothing boutique. She has two employees, Desi, who is played by Megan Fox.
Megan Fox.
And Jody, who is played by Charlene Yee.
Yeah.
Who was
from the first movie.
Yes. Pete has his own record label. He worked for Sony Music.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
think that's right.
And so now he left that. He owns his own record label with Chris O'Dowd.
Perhaps they couldn't give the rights like with Sony or something.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, they mention it in there, though.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They said, no, he doesn't work for Sony
anymore. I don't know. Maybe just for plot purposes, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So Chris O'Dowd and Lena Dunham, who play Ronnie and Kat.
Judd Apatow produced Girls. That's how we got Lena Dunham.
Yep. So they both work for him. She's not in it a whole lot.
No, she's not.
Which is fine.
Which is too bad.
But they both work for him. So
can I tell you, Chris O'Dowd's not in it enough. How about that?
With his character, I think he's in it just enough.
No, I wanted more of him.
I like Chris O'Dowd for the most part, but to me, he was kind of a bastard in this a little bit.
Really? Thought he was the funniest person in the movie.
He was plenty funny. Yeah. So Pete's business, basically, they decided to produce the next record for Graham Parker and the Rumors.
Which, you know, all those people who are really hoping for the next Graham Parker.
You know how that happened? Because it was like, okay, he picked something that wasn't super popular. So it started because he was on some sort of a message board and Graham Parker posted.
Who was? Judd Apatow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Graham Parker had posted something about, hey, how do I get my music into a movie?
Oh, nice.
And said something on it. He's like, Judd Apatow, are you out there listening?
Oh, wow.
And Judd Apatow was like, holy shit. So that's why he was like, let's do this.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah, Graham Parker and the Rumor. Pete's producing their album, but not having a whole lot of traction with it. Like, people are not coming out to see this in droves. And at first, he doesn't even have the rumor. He just has Graham Parker.
Right.
So now, on top of everything, Debbie is having trouble with her boutique as well a little bit because they're missing, like, 12 grand. And they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
They're also having to deal with their kids. So Sadie's now like 13 years old. She's at that age where she's starting to rebel a lot. Her body's changing. Her hormones are changing. And then Charlotte, who is still being, you know, the kid's sister, who's, you know, just being a little punk.
Or herself. My buddy. It could be a my buddy too, or a kid's sister.
And I love, I'm sorry, I love Charlotte's character.
Yeah.
I think she's adorable.
Both these girls, for their age, have talent. Let's put it that
way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, very much so. I like Sadie, too.
That's why Sadie did a really good job. They both have talent.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. Yeah. They were adorable. You say Chris O'Dowd? They were my favorite part.
Well, okay, so I even said Sadie reminds me of Leslie. The girl that plays Leslie. And then Charlotte reminds me of Judd Apatow, in a way.
I think so.
But a little bit, but yeah.
So now towards, I thought this should be like, you know, midway through, but apparently it wasn't. For Debbie's birthday, they go on this romantic weekend retreat.
Doesn't this seem like it's in the middle of the movie? But it's not in the middle of the movie? I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
It feels like this should be like towards the middle of it.
And there's a lot of other things that are going on there. Like, there's, we see that Pete is like talking to, Pete's talking to his friend Barry, played by Rob Schmeigel, who is the one who gave him the Viagra. And they're like having this ad-libbed conversation about that. And then, Debbie's getting trained by Jason, and then Barry's wife, who I can't remember, but they are, Barb, that's what it is.
Barb,
played by Annie Mamolo.
Okay.
So, but they're training, and so she's getting in shape. Robert Schmeigel and Paul Rudd are like bicyclists, and so they're getting in shape like that. So they're going through all this, but she's having trouble dealing with her birthday. They go to, like a romantic weekend at a resort, where they go swimming. They just are having fun. You know, they're being romantic. And at one point he says, you know, hey, I have a medical marijuana cookie
that Ben gave me.
And so they actually reference Ben from the first movie.
So this is the first time we actually have, like, that reference from the first movie.
Yeah.
That is somewhat of substantial, besides the character.
Yeah.
Like Jason and the other characters.
Right. Well, even that.
They weren't the main character.
Right.
So Ben was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's close with Ben. He's still close with Ben.
Yeah.
So you figured, you know, we would see him, right?
There's a scene where he's playing Scrabble on the iPad, like on the toilet, and he's playing the game against Ben.
Which seems like a game that character would totally play.
Yeah, totally.
Words with Friends.
I don't even think it was that. It was literally Scrabble.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was Scrabble.
Didn't matter. Ben's not going to play that game.
Fine, you don't know.
You didn't grow up that much.
You don't know.
I do know.
So they go out there, they eat the pot cookie and get high, and then there's just like this montage of them being weird. With the kid from
Superstore?
Yes, with the kid from Superstore.
Like Cheyenne's boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. And who was in, like, Zorn.
Son of Zorn.
Son of Zorn or whatever. Yeah. So you just see the kid. They're just acting weird. It's them just doing goofy things forever. A lot of this is just ad-libbed. It's hard to, like, go through it because it's just kind of like...
It's very ad-libbed.
Paul Rudd does 5 minutes of material.
Leslie Mann screams for five minutes.
Leslie Mann just laughs.
Yeah. Yells at a kid for 10 minutes.
Yeah. So after speaking with Jason and Barb, so Debbie decides that they're going to try to make their family better.
Yeah, like cut out gluten, sugar, whatever, well, cut out technology.
She sees, was it Grandma Molly or whatever, this lady who helps at the school.
The grade school, yeah.
Yeah, and she says, oh, I heard you turned 40. I remember when I turned 40, you know, and then I blinked and I was 90. It goes by so fast. And so Debbie's like, no, we need to preserve this time while we can. We need to be happy. So we're going to be happy by cutting down all the electronics to a half hour a day, not eating things. Like, it's all going to be healthy. You know, we're going to go to therapy once a week. We need to confront our parents. She's going to give up smoking, and he's supposed to give up eating cupcakes.
Right.
You know, they're going to do all these things. So Pete also has an issue. He's been lending money to his dad, Larry, played by Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks.
Yep. And because it's been hurting them financially, you know, things get tight for them because they're giving him money. So he says, okay, he'll cut him off. He goes to visit his dad, and but his dad is kind of weasels his way around it a little bit. So he's just an insufferable mooch. Mm-hmm. And his dad, like, it's so weird. Like, so his dad is like 60-something.
Right.
And he has three, like 5-year-old kids.
Yeah, he's got triplets.
Or yeah, they have triplets. He got
Huey, married. Dewey, and Louie, I think that's what their names are.
He got married to a woman who's, like, was, like, in her, she must be, like, in her early 50s.
Yeah.
And she wanted a kid, so they went through, like, the IVF and ended up having triplets. It's just very weird. I'm like, why is this? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because of they wanted to have the parents of both of them have kids themselves.
Yeah.
That were actually younger than them.
Yeah.
So we could have, like, that, just kind of looking in the mirror and going, oh gosh, my brother is 7.
Yeah.
Because even, like, her character, her dad, played by John Lithgow later on, has kids too.
Yes.
So I think they wanted to mirror that.
Yeah. Yeah, she
which is weird, why?
Yeah, she has dinner with her dad, Oliver, or lunch with him, and he, like, it's the first time she sees pictures of her siblings, which are, like, 12 and, or 13 and 8 or something like that.
She hasn't seen him in, like, 7 years, right? Something like that.
Yeah. And so they're not close. He left when she was, like, 8 or something. But no, it's very bizarre to me. Like,
to put that as a plot device is really bizarre.
Yeah, especially for both sides.
Yeah. Like I said, it's the only thing I can think of is the fact that, like, they're, like, reflecting upon their life and how, like, they grew up and how maybe they weren't the greatest parents. Like, their parents weren't the greatest parents. And so they're, like, having to redo, or they're like, you're doing better at this than you were with me.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think
of.
Yeah,
maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And not only that, it's like they've restarted with new families.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, they're kind of on their own.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, Pete tries to cut his dad off, Debbie visits her gynecologist, who's a doctor from Dr. Pellegrino from the first movie, discovers that she's pregnant. So she goes to tell, they're at like a school thing. She goes to tell Pete about it, and he's like, oh no, I don't want any more kids. Like, we're perfect the way we are. It'd be a nightmare.
What school thing were they at? Like, their daughter's just painting the set.
Yeah, she was. That's why I was like, she's practicing for getting ready for a show.
Whatever.
Yeah. And this whole thing takes place, what, like in a week or so?
Yeah, I didn't know the timeline.
Yeah.
They said that their birthdays are a week apart or yes. really close to each other.
Oh, yeah, they're like a week apart. They're in the same week, they right. said.
Right.
And so it had to have all taken place like in a week.
Whatever. Yeah, it just seemed like it took way too long.
Right? And so they went away for like a romantic vacation and then had all this other stuff in that time.
Like, I don't know about you, but like we go a month with not really a lot of like drama in our lives.
Yeah.
They go like a 2 days and it's like they're fighting with each other. I'm like, God, come on.
Yeah. Check my notes here. So she doesn't tell Pete about this because he didn't seem excited. So she ends up walking out, and as she's leaving, she comes across this kid, Joseph. Earlier, they were reading Sadie's Facebook post,
sure.
Or like her messenger, and this kid said that he's putting together a hot or not hot list, and she was on the not hot list. And, you know, he's just being a douche.
He's digital version of pulling someone's pigtails.
Yeah, apparently.
That's all it was.
Yeah. And so Debbie sees him and she starts chewing him out. And, you know, you find out that he does. He looks like a little, he almost looks like a little Tom Petty.
He looks like Tom Petty and Justin Bieber had a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she does. She yeah. she
don't do him like that.
Yeah. So she talks crap to him, and he's like crying, and he gets away.
Yeah.
And he says, "No, it's okay. I get it. Like you're going through menopause."
I don't know who that kid is.
Yeah.
That actor. I hope. I pray that his face grows up to where he doesn't have those teeth.
Oh, they will.
Okay.
No, he will. I guarantee he'll grow into them. And he'll go back in time and become Napoleon Dynamite. So
what's my chapstick?
So that kid was in Super 8, by the way.
Oh, he was in Super 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, they get into the argument. Later on, Pete goes back up to the school. And he gets in a fight with Ryan's mother, played by Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
Who, like, he's trying to be nice, and he's like, okay, I'm sure she was just feeling some pressure.
This is before, like, she really became big?
No.
Really?
No.
When did Bridesmaids was, like, a big thing?
I think Bridesmaids came out before this.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll look that one up. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, she's just... You know, she is upset, and Pete's trying to be calm about it and apologizes, and she keeps freaking out. And so finally...
Bridesmaids was like the year before, so yeah. It was probably like during that time. Go ahead.
So finally, he says, you know what? How about this? If I see if your kid keeps taunting my kid, I'm going to hit him with my car. And it goes on, and he like pokes her in the shoulder, and she freaks out. so on and so forth. I think they end up in the principal's office.
Right.
Where they play dumb, and Melissa McCarthy's character just comes off crazy.
Right.
It's
a fun little scene.
Yeah. But it's, again, it's Melissa McCarthy kind of ad-libbing.
Oh, it's her improv-ing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. It's her style.
I would watch her do that, like anything. I would love to. It's fun to see Melissa McCarthy do that and watch her wheels turn.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know. And you get that, like, there's a blooper at the end of the movie, which is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, where they actually start losing it. But you can just kind of tell that they're... These movies, that's one thing I'm okay with here. Like, you can usually tell the actors are pretty good about keeping it together. But sometimes you can tell when they're just like... You can just feel it bubbling under the surface. They're probably about ready to crack up, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so during all of this, Debbie Jody, the one employee who's kind of straight-laced and whatever, she tells Debbie that Desi, played by Megan Fox, is stealing the money. And she keeps telling her that boutique money, that she stole it. She's just like, look at her clothes. Look at her wonderful clothes. That's her fault.
Look at the nice car she's driving, her wonderful clothes. Yeah. Look at that car. It changes into a transformer.
Exactly. She's telling her, you know, it's her. She's stealing this. So Debbie goes to take Desi out to talk about it and confront her.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to a club. While they're there and they're having some fun at the same time, they meet several players from the Philadelphia Flyers.
Some of them. Some of them are hockey players. Some of them are actors, which we'll find out.
Yes. So they're dancing with them. They're talking with them. Megan Fox is like, one of the guys pulls out his teeth and she puts them in her mouth. But the one guy, one of the hockey players, handsome looking guy, starts talking to Debbie and is flirting with her and invites her back to his place. He's pretty charming about it.
Yeah.
Not creepy or anything. And she is flattered, but she apologizes and says, I'm sorry, I'm married, I have two kids, I'm pregnant.
Right.
And he, you know, and he's like, no, that's okay. And it is played by
Wyatt Russell.
Right? Wyatt Russell. So he's playing another hockey player.
Another hockey player.
So he's been in two movies with us.
He's getting typecasted, man.
Yeah. He's been in two movies.
As a hockey player.
And
dude,
in both of them, he's been hockey players.
Who's your agent? Gretzky? Come on.
Yeah. Correct it is.
So there he is. And he's been in two of our movies. He's been in Goon.
Yeah. No.
The Last Enforcer, wasn't he?
What was it, Goon?
Was he in the second one?
I've seen Slapshot, too. Yeah, it was Goon. Yeah. You're right. It was Goon.
Yeah, it was Goon. And Slapshot. Right? No, he wasn't in Slapshot?
No. He was just in Goon, I think.
Well, was he in Slapshot at all? Slapshot 2?
I don't think so.
I don't know, but he always plays a hockey player.
Yeah, I think he's just in Goon, too.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. I don't know, but keep going.
Anyway.
He could be in whatever he wants. I mean,
as long as he's a hockey player.
Watch him. It's fine. But it's got to be beard. I like beard. I like when Kurt Russell has a beard.
Everybody Wants Some?
Yes, he was in Everybody Wants Some.
Oh, my God. So he's been in three movies with us.
Yeah.
And all three, he played a sports figure.
Sports person. Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. His character was, like, older than what he
Yeah, he was, like, the older stoner guy.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's really cool about it. But she's feeling pretty good at that point. Debbie goes to drop Desi off at her apartment and realizes it's a really swanky apartment.
Debbie and Desi. Sorry.
I know. They weren't thinking about all that.
Well, they were thinking about the double T's.
Well, so Debbie goes to drop her off and says, hey, like, did you take this money? You have all this fancy stuff. And she reveals that she's actually an escort. So many times a year. And there's kind of this funny bit with her where she's like, they pay me a lot. I don't have to sleep with them or anything like that. It's about being accompanying them for dates. I only do it three to five times a year. And then she says, well, but I still do sleep with them. That's why I only do it 5 to 12 times a year. And then it's like, 12 to 30. And so she keeps talking about it. But she basically is an escort. She makes this money this way on the side. And so she's like, well, who took the money then? And she's like, Jody.
Why would you ask that? Who took the money? You only have two employees.
Yeah, you only got a total of three.
I'm going to guess if it's not this person, it's the other person.
Yeah. But she wouldn't believe that because she thinks Jody's so proper.
Right. Well, you know.
But
she didn't watch the first movie then.
Yeah, right. Jody turns out she's stealing. She's addicted to pills, and so she took the money. So Debbie meets up with Jody.
Yeah.
And she's like, but I didn't take the money. I didn't do this. And then she goes, you just admitted to it. Did I? And so she's like real messed up. And then she can't say the word OxyContin, right?
Yeah.
And then she's talking in different voices. So Debbie fires her and says she wants the money back and leaves. Back at home, Pete and Debbie are really having to deal with, like, Sadie and Charlotte fighting all the time. They're having arguments. The kids are having arguments. Like, it's carrying over to them.
Right. The album didn't sell very well.
Yeah, the album, it only sold, like, 600 copies.
He has given a lot of money to his dad. She has figured this out through the accountant played by Michael Ian Black.
She went to the accountant. It turns out it was $80,000 that he's given his dad.
You don't know this?
Yeah, right. And so, over the last 2 years. So there's just all... And it feels so tenuous, too. Like, all these storylines are just, like, bits and...
Yeah.
There's not, like, one storyline that you're focused in on or even
a couple. Yeah, which makes me just hard to, like, kind of... Not identify, but, like, feel a little sympathy for anything.
It almost reminded me... I don't think it was intentionally trying to do this, but... Schenectady, New York.
No.
Listen to me though. Where it skips forward and you're like, what happened? Like,
yeah,
it's just looking at the unimportant moments.
Right.
It's almost like you're skipping forward through time and just seeing these little glimpses of shit. Although it's only all of this is supposed to be like in a week.
Yeah, but the difference is Schenectady, New York was a good film.
Yeah, that's true. Basically, the kids are fighting. You know, they're starting to... They basically are starting to, kind of see things like, hey, look, we're not doing well.
They're not doing well. You know what that reminds me of? That movie, Schenectady, New York, where...
Although that did happen in Schenectady, New York.
There you go.
So anyway, all these tangential kind of things are happening. You know, he's... sleeping on the couch sometimes. They're just all over the place. And the only one who seems like... Charlotte seems like the only one who's getting her shit together. She's helping out her sister. She's apologizing
for
things. There's
an on-running joke with the iPad where he's playing the iPad and the only time he can get away from the kids and the family is on the toilet where he's playing games. And that the oldest daughter, Sadie, loves... the show Lost.
Yes.
So she's been binge-watching Lost, which is pretty funny because Ben's character in the first movie mentioned something about Lost, how, like, Matthew Fox is just, like...
Yeah.
Just there's no emotion through Matthew Fox. Not related to Megan Fox.
No.
No.
Now, and Paul Rudd in real life is a huge Lost fan.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he, of course, talks shit about it in this movie.
Right.
But yeah,
I think
the
daughter's, at that time you're allowed to talk shit about it.
The daughter's been obsessed with it, and she's got like 2 episodes left when they had decided to take away the electronics. So she's mad at them because she needs to get through those last 2 episodes.
Let me tell you, Sadie, you do not need to watch those last 2 episodes.
Yeah. So everything has kind of come to a head here, and it's the day of his birthday party. And... for his 40th birthday party, like right before it, he's trying to get everybody going. Sadie watched the last 2 episodes, and so she's like
distraught
about the ending of it. And he's like, just get your shit together. And she's like, you know what? I didn't get upset when you watched Mad Men. And he's like, yeah, because Mad Men's a good show. And she's like, it's just a bunch of people in a room smoking. Like, what are you talking about? At least this has shit going on. And so they kind of argue about that. So at the 40th birthday party, he argues... Well, first off, we see, like, Barry and his wife show up. So they're friends. They have the people from work show up.
Right.
The family members show up.
Yeah.
It's weird, though.
Graham Parker's there.
Yeah, Graham Parker's even
there
singing.
Graham Parker's
there.
The one person who isn't there?
Two people,
I guess. Yeah, well, whatever. The one that we really want to be there is Ben. You figured would be there because he gave him a pot brownie or a pot cookie.
He said he gave it to him 2 years before.
Oh, 2 years before? Well, they're obviously talking with each other, at least playing Scrabble.
Yeah.
So he figured he'd be there for his birthday.
Yeah.
And the other person is?
Catherine Heigl.
Yeah, well, whatever.
And Ben and Allison.
Ben and Allison.
Yep, they are not.
You figured
there.
They would be there. They were so good friends.
And their kid is like roughly the same age as some of the others. I mean,
right.
Come on. Okay.
Yeah, like five?
Yeah, he should be five.
There you go.
But so, yeah, it's like, oh, okay.
But no, I guess not.
Yeah. Guess they're not that close.
Nope.
So at the birthday
maybe
party.
Maybe they moved away. Maybe they're far away.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Yeah, there we
that's
go.
That's true. So at the 40th birthday party, Pete argues with his dad about the money he wants from them because he just wants to keep getting money. And he had just given his dad, too, like a drawing by John Lennon.
Yeah, that you what'd you do with it?
And he was like, go ahead and sell this so that, like, you know, you can get the money from it. But that way I'm not giving you money. So try to sell it for something.
Right.
And Debbie argues with her dad about not spending enough time in her life and how his is all perfect.
They have an argument and then they say, no, we resolved it because it's not our fault. It's our parents' fault.
Yeah.
Which is such a great way to end an argument, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't blame yourself. Blame your parents.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So well, now they're at this party, and so they're it's like comparing wounds.
Yeah.
Mine's bigger than yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my dad did this. Yeah. Your dad does this.
Yep. And his, like, Oliver.
Because you didn't resolve anything.
Yeah. Oliver explains it. Her dad, Oliver, played by John Lithgow.
John Lithgow. Which, by the way, is probably perfect casting, I would say, in that one. I give all, like, even in Knocked Up, everyone who's a parent is really good casted.
They are.
Harold Ramis's Ben's dad is spot on.
Yeah.
And Albert Brooks as Paul Rudd's dad is pretty fun, too. Yeah.
John Lithgow and Leslie Mann
were
married in Orange County. In that show, the movie Orange County.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, so they know each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now they play father and daughter.
That's bizarre.
I
was like, they were married in real life?
No. What?
This is before Judd Apatow?
No, this is just confused. In that movie.
When you said Orange County, I was like, oh, they went to Orange County and got married?
Yep.
Was this when he was on Dexter? When was this?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So, wow. Oliver says, you know, his life isn't perfect. His son is a pothead. His daughter, you know, hates him and this, like, it's just, he can't win. He's like, so I'm supposed to be this perfect person, and I'm not. Like, nobody wants me in their life. They tell me this. So, like, I got out of your life because I wanted you to have a fine one, you know, and I thought I would ruin it. And so, basically, she chases him away, but then he ends up coming back in. And so they start to rectify things. And at one point, Pete just cycles away. And so he's just angry bicycling. And he's, like, getting really, like, going through traffic and stuff. It's pretty pretty dangerous looking. So Debbie and Larry go to find Pete. She asks her dad to watch the kids. And so this is the first time, because he's just really kind of met the grandkids for the first time, that he's like, yeah, okay. So he's spending time with them and, you know, becoming part of the family. While Pete is writing, some idiot opens his door. Like, I mean, it is, Pete is right. You need to look at your side mirror before you open your door. The guy just throws his door open and Pete runs into it and breaks the window. And the guy is demanding that he gives him money or gives him his insurance information. about the window. And Pete's like, you asshole, you're the one who opened your door without looking. And so the guy punches Pete in the head or in the face. And then Pete tries to hit him in the stomach, which does nothing. And then he hits Pete in the stomach back and, of course, puts Pete on the ground. And then he drives away. I did laugh. He goes, I need to get your, I'm going to get your plate number.
Right.
And as he looks, the Land Rover is driving away. And it's just like one of those dealer tag things. And he goes, Land Rover. It's like all he says before his head hits the ground.
Right.
So they take him to the hospital where they get some x-rays done. While they're waiting, Larry and Debbie kind of reconcile everything that's going on. So they're, you know, getting over their things. And you know, he's talking about how he's not going to bum money off him anymore and, like, why he was doing it and, you know, how much Pete loves her and all these things. And so he ends up taking off, mooching money to get a cab on his way out. She goes and talks to Pete, and
there's a funny line. Can I say this? Where he's like, "Can I borrow $40?"
Yeah.
She's like, "I only have $100." Yeah, that's fine. I'll just give you the change later on.
Yeah.
No, no, you're not.
Yeah. So, and Albert Brooks is perfect in that role.
That's what I mean. I'm like, he's perfect.
So, Debbie and Pete talk. She's like, I don't want you to leave. You know, you're my favorite person. You know, I love you. You're my favorite person in the world. He says that she's afraid that he'll feel trapped by having this kid. And he's like, no way. He's like, I'm excited about this. I really am. Oh, and that was, they awkwardly found out because her friend blurted it out in front of everybody. And that's when shit started to hit the fan.
Yeah.
And so that's how he found out. So this is the first time they've talked about it. He says he's excited. And he's like, yeah, I'm not trapped. He goes, I trapped you. I got you pregnant again. He's like, I'm going to get you pregnant every 10 years for the rest of your life. And so they kind of laugh about that. They said that, you know, they're going to do fine. They're going to make things work. She's like, well, when you get out of here, he's like, can we do something? Like, you're not going to like
right.
it. And she's like, yeah.
For my birthday.
We should go listen to music.
We should go listen to music. You know, she doesn't really like his music.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole time they've been talking about he likes 90s kind of.
He likes more of the adult alternative, like you would say.
Yes.
You know.
And she
likes
poppy
popular
stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's like, we can go. And she's like, well, when you get out of here, like, you know, when are they going to let you out? He goes, I can leave whenever I want. He's like, this isn't like a mental institution.
Yeah.
He's like, he made like a one flew over the cuckoo's nest. And he's like, please God, don't smother me with a pillow.
It's a fine scene.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
You know.
And so then they head out to a concert.
Right. They're like, I just want to go see some music.
Yeah.
I randomly pick this day to go see some music.
Yeah. So they go to they go to a bar. It's a small venue. So it's like one of those like bars with where it maybe has seats for like 40 people.
50, 40 people.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they just watch somebody performing.
Right.
Who just happens to be Ryan Adams.
Ryan Adams. And she's like, I like this song.
Yeah. And he's like,
you should sign Ryan Adams.
Well, and he's like excited because she likes something he likes.
Right.
And she's like, you should sign him.
Yeah. Well, he is between labels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we were like, oh, haha, you know, he's already signed. He's already got a whatever.
Whatever.
And he goes, well, he is between labels, We should talk to him after the show.
You just picked that one day that Ryan Adams was there.
Where he was playing a small bar.
A small bar with 50 people, and he's between labels.
Yeah.
Well, things are looking up for you guys.
It was so awkward.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and that's really the end of it. And if
for the most part,
this review sounds disjointed,
it's because
the movie's pretty disjointed.
It is.
Like, I don't know, the storyline, the way it's told is just very awkward. It is almost, that's why I keep saying it's slice of life. It's like, because life is not a constant through story.
No, life is not a constant through story. And if we're saying slice of life, yeah, it is. But it should be a really good slice of pie.
Well, it's like they wanted to, they tried to apply, they tried to apply comedy to a slice of life. So you have this like kind of mundane mixed with this weird humor that, I don't know, it's just awkward storytelling, I think.
Yeah, but people have done that before, and people have done that better than here. I think this movie, I feel like this movie was improv'd too much.
Yes.
And so the structure wasn't quite there.
Agreed.
I felt like he was just like, go for it.
Yeah. Agreed.
Do whatever.
Yep.
All right. Pete does 5 minutes.
Yeah. I agree.
That's what I think, you know.
Yeah.
But anything else you can take from this movie, you would say?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I did not enjoy this movie. I think you enjoyed it better than I did.
I laughed at things.
I'm not saying I didn't laugh at things, but this movie, and it wasn't the fact that I didn't, it wasn't what I expected. I think it's because I expected better from Judd Apatow.
Yeah. I would agree.
Because Judd Apatow has this way of where he blends the heart of the story with the comedy of the story.
Yeah.
This just did not do it justice. There wasn't enough comedy to when then the heartfelt stuff came in.
Yeah.
It didn't have the same impact.
And also,
like, say, the 40-Year Virgin.
When the heartfelt stuff came in, it wasn't built up right.
No.
Like, all this stuff with her dad, I think could have been amazing.
It could have been amazing.
But it was so like all of a sudden I was like, wait, he left when you were this age? Wait, what's happening? Wait. And like there was stuff that all of a sudden they were exposing in this conversation that I'm like, what the shit? Where did any of that come from? So I wasn't invested in it because it was only 2 seconds old. Because
it was 2 seconds long, right? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not saying that this wasn't a well-acted movie.
Oh, no.
This is a well-acted movie, but it's just disjointed. And it just doesn't work that way. So that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, shall we?
Yes.
X wrote a lot Fit Talks. Yes, I read that correctly. Gave it a 10 out of 10. Mm. Said, I love this movie. This movie had me laughing and cringing and going through an emotional roller coaster that's all too familiar with us, with kids, career, money, and problems, and with issue with our parents, and all the issues that came with inching through adulthood. My wife said it best, this is the most real film I've seen in years. The acting was superb, especially Leslie Mann and the Apatow kids. The jokes were spot on and biting. The music fit perfectly. The pace was perfect. I only wish that it could have been longer. I almost wish it had a happy ending, that it was easily resolved, the difficulty of growing up. But that's real life for you. I think this isn't just Apatow's best movie. It's one of the best of the years. First of all, you wish it was longer? It felt like it was 3 hours long, Jeremy.
Yeah.
This movie is 2 hours and what, 14?
215 minutes.
Change,
yeah,
whatever.
Like that, yeah.
Too long of a movie for me.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for what it was.
Yeah.
It didn't need to go on that long. This is from TV Stew. Yeah, TV Stew, reviewing a movie. All right. He says, 1 out of 10, says this is terrible. I believe I've seen all of Judd Apatow's films, and I've liked a majority of them, but This Is 40 is not only his worst film, it's one of the worst films I've seen this year, if not ever. The film honestly felt like the script was never completed. An editor was never hired and the actors had no direction. That's not necessarily true, but that's just me. I had none of the joy of the other films and not even the natural likability of the stars. It felt dour and depressing all while watching a natural or an unnaturally pleasant skies of Santa Monica. I don't even know what that means at the end, but hey. I have got problems with this movie, but let's go through our five questions. I think they'll come up with that. But go ahead.
Before we get into that, like playing off what he said and what I hear about like the ad-libbing. So here's part of what I think. Like, I think there's some faults with this movie, and I think it has to do with some of that. Like, when you have such a serious thing, like, okay, so they're having an argument. They're disagreeing right. about something, right? And so they're ad-libbing.
Right.
But their experience and their, like, standpoint is to try to ad-lib funny, try to make this thing funny. Or,
I agree.
Like,
you know,
these
things
are kind of over-the-top yeah. arguments. But it seems to take it over. And I think that like when they're ad-libbing arguments between them and yeah. they're kind of one-upping each other,
yeah.
it makes their characters like seem irrationally crazy and right. like childlike.
Right.
I mean, there's some childish shit where I'm like, "Oh, come on, you are 40."
I think you need to like when you're doing arguments with couples,
yeah.
and you need to write that. That yeah. needs to be written. I don't think you need to improv that as much.
Right.
I think you can add maybe some improvs here or there, but someone who really wrote argument very well was Neil Simon.
Yeah,
just a master at that.
Yeah,
just the way that he would just through roommates or through couples or whatever, through the yeah. odd couple or whatever, reading his arguments. That's how you write where you throw in the line where it's just funny mm-hmm. and dramatic at the same time.
Yeah.
This, I think, was improv too much.
Yeah, and you could do some of that, but yeah, those arguments.
Not saying
have
like
more
improv
control.
Always needs to be funny.
No, and I don't.
And
think
they improvised well.
Yeah, but the way they approached it was they
Correct.
Were trying to like they were doing the comedy. I'm going to go a little bit more, a little bit further, a little bit whatever,
right.
and that's not what I think. The arguments didn't seem real to me. They just seemed, you know, I don't know. They seemed childish and
yeah.
you know. Just kind of like, ugh, I get it. Like, it
yes.
just the more they did that kind of stuff, the more they engaged in those kind of arguments, I'm like, you're terrible.
The like, more you didn't like the character.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I did not like these characters through the whole movie.
But when they had sweet
the
moments,
end,
I'm like, okay.
Sweet moments.
Yeah. Then
towards
I,
the end, I did.
And there were times in there where I did, but
even,
I was just like.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, like, my favorite scene. Go ahead. We'll do the, let's
okay.
do the.
So what was your favorite part?
Chris O'Dowd was probably one of my favorite parts. I do like the kids. I'm going to tell you my favorite part of the movie was actually, and this is about half of it, when we were at his birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the movie got funny to me, okay? About halfway into that, that's when I started not liking the movie again, when they started arguing through their parents.
Yeah.
But up until then, I actually thought that was probably the funniest part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say actually that first half of the birthday party scene
okay.
was my favorite. And the whole running joke of Lost
yeah.
was pretty funny for me, but go ahead.
I think, I you know, the grandparents and the kids, that's what I'm going to go with. So, but seriously, it's Albert Brooks and John Lithgow do amazing jobs. Even though their stories don't always like make sense, and I think they got ad-libbed into
yeah.
something weird. Like, I'm sorry, those roles specifically were written for those men.
They were, you can tell.
Yeah, and so I thought they were great with what they did.
I agree.
The Apatow girls were great.
Right.
Maude and Iris, I think are their names. I thought they did amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They were adorable, and they keep even when the older one, when Sadie was like going nuts and whatever as a teen, like I felt for her because it wasn't always like she would be irrationally angry, and then she would be, very like sweet,
yeah.
and then she'd be kind of like joking, and then she would be like. There are a couple times where she was like very wise. I loved like, I mean, those characters to me. I was like, okay, I believe
yeah.
those. I did enjoy those. Yeah.
Can I tell you? I also enjoyed. Well, I enjoyed the music in this. That was another thing I did
yeah.
enjoy. I also enjoyed the cameos. Were actually pretty good.
Yeah,
they were decent. I enjoyed like maybe the peripheral characters a little bit better
yeah.
than I enjoyed these main characters that were those people in the first movie.
Yeah.
I think these were the wrong people to kind of spin off.
And I know this may be controversial.
Okay.
But I don't normally care for Megan Fox.
But I thought she was funny.
When Megan Fox does comedy, I think she's golden. Like I loved her when she hosted Saturday Night Live. Whenever she's done other comedy things, I think she has good timing.
Can I tell you, hands down, best thing I've ever seen Megan Fox do was this movie.
Yeah, she's great at comedy.
Yeah,
and I think that's so. Like, I get why she doesn't get those roles predominantly, but I love her
in
comedy.
This movie had a lot of funny people in it. A lot of funny people, and it should have been funnier because of that, and it wasn't.
It just didn't know kind of which way it wanted to go.
Didn't know where to go, yeah.
Yeah. All right, reboot, continue, or cancel.
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I don't need this is 50.
Or another spinoff.
Or another spinoff. I don't need to see any of those. But maybe Graham Parker.
No. No, I'm the same way. Go ahead and cancel it. This actually was supposed to be the third spinoff.
There was going to be another.
So originally,
I didn't know that.
Originally, 40-Year-Old Virgin was supposed to spin off into
Knocked Up.
Knocked Up, but they changed the character because of whatever reason.
I still don't know why.
Yeah.
So the Seth Rogen character.
Yeah. So Seth Rogen's character was supposed to spin off from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh wow.
And then this was supposed to spin off from.
Well, he's playing the same. He's playing the same character.
Yeah. From really that he movie. Is.
Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm good. Let's just stop with these.
I'm done.
Do you think this stands on its own?
No. There's a lot of characters that come in that were like, who's that? Why are you, you know, we don't really explain it. And even the ones we don't even know that aren't even from the first movie.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with standing on its own. I'm still confused by it. I know that that's kind of not what you're asking, but I don't think it does. For the most part, it does, but there's parts that don't.
If
they would have maybe...
I think it does.
No.
Well, because, okay, if I was not even aware of what was happening in the first movie, I would still get this. Nothing would really...
Yeah.
I
would have wanted to know who Ben was. Ben gave me this.
I wouldn't even blink an eye at that. Okay. The only person who I probably would have been confused about
was
Jason.
Jason, yeah.
Yeah, because I'd be like, why is he, you know.
Okay, I'll give you that. You know, you changed my mind on that.
Yeah. But for the most part, like, Dr. Pellegrino, I wouldn't know he was a spinoff
you
character.
You wouldn't have known that.
No, I wouldn't have known. Fuck, I wouldn't have known any of these were.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, the first movie is not important to this one.
Yeah, no, not way. Really. Like, yeah, I guess you're right.
They make some tenuous references.
I'm
but,
just confused by this movie.
Agreed.
This movie could have been a lot better.
Does this make you want to watch?
This
Knocked
movie
Up?
Does not want me to watch it. I think Knocked Up is a fine movie, but no, this movie does not want me. No. You?
No.
No.
The only thing that would make me want to watch that first Knocked Up is to see the girls. When
yeah,
they were little.
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah, just to
because
see them.
To be like, oh, look at them.
And to see those characters before, kind of like, because we
but
now
But even have, then, they were kind of like that.
They were kind of terrible.
It was only 5 years before.
Yeah.
And like, there's a whole scene in the trailer where he's like, do you want to have sex?
Yeah, and his...
And she goes, ugh. And she goes, well, I'm really constipated. Yeah. Do you still want to do this? He goes, well, now.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that, like, okay, he's... And remember, because we watched the trailer of Knocked Up, and he goes... Really, marriage is just a big version of Everybody Loves Raymond, except not funny. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's what this movie was.
Yeah.
Correct. You predicted that.
Yeah, it's correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it does not really make me want to watch the first one, except to see those girls and be like, well, look, they're all grown
up. I mean,
said
that, I would watch the first one, but just the movie doesn't make me want to watch it.
I was not wild about Knocked Up.
I like it better than you, probably.
Yeah, I think you do. Two words.
My two words are knocked down.
Ooh. Yeah,
because this got knocked down a bunch, man, from the first one. Here's why. Okay, this is why I kind of like Knocked Up a little bit better. The heart of Knocked Up towards the end of it really packs an emotional punch for me.
Yeah.
I feel like even though Ben doesn't really grow up, you can see that he's on the process of growing up.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out his life.
Yes.
I don't feel like these characters really are going to. I feel like there's a cycle that happens with them, and that they'll just continue to have that cycle.
Yeah.
And they're just going to have another kid. You know what I mean? So my two words are knocked down. This got knocked down. And I did too for watching it.
This, my two words, spun out.
Spun out of control.
It's like, I know it's supposed to be a spinoff, but it's just. I think that
Knocked Up wasn't this long of a movie.
I don't think it was.
I think it was. I don't know.
Although I felt like Knocked Up went forever. I remember seeing it and being like, it's still going.
Maybe. I don't know. It's because of Katherine Heigl.
Yeah, probably. Probably because, like, I didn't really associate with anybody in the other one much.
Uh-huh. I didn't. You know, but I didn't associate with anyone here as well.
Yeah.
Look, I know this is going to sound really bad, but this movie is of white people's problems.
Yeah.
It's a whole movie of white people problems.
Yeah, agreed.
There's really not that many minorities in this movie, which is a shame. Because minorities are funny too as well. So I would have liked to see a little less white on the screen. Maybe I doubt that would have helped.
We had one. She was a pill popper.
That was great. You know. Yeah. I mean, it's basically white people's problems.
Yeah.
So I didn't really quite enjoy it. But that concludes, I would say, our Loose Deuce series this time around, called Spinoffs.
Yes.
We'll continue to do a Loose Deuce series now and then.
Yep.
But what do we have coming up there?
So as far as what we have coming up, I believe we have your pick comes up next.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I got to get on that.
So you're going to have a pick.
Oh, shit. I got to get on that.
Yes, and then I believe I have a pick, and then something very special.
Oh, very special.
Something very
special. I don't even know what you're talking about, but sure, something very special.
Something very special for our 69th episode.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so yeah, you're right. well, you just ruined it right there. So where can people find us, Jeremy?
So people can find us
at...
thedeucepodcast.podbean.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, most of the other kind of podcatchers.
Sure. And when you're doing that, use the promo code Deuce.
If you go on iTunes, please make sure that you give us a 5-star rating. We would appreciate it.
Yes.
Also, if you go to nophonynetwork.com, so you will see our podcast links on there, as well as many others. Go check all of those out. You can also find us at on Twitter with the handle at Deuce Podcast, or at the Deuce Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook as well. So join the group there.
So they can't miss us. We're everywhere.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
If you do enjoy our podcast but want to listen to other podcasts, I would definitely go check out No Funny Podcast, where there are many different types of podcasts.
Yeah, different types even. That's
different types. That's what's great about it.
There's something for everybody.
Something for everyone. Use the promo code Deuce when you do that. All right. And we're going to leave you on this note. The sequel is king. Promo code Deuce.
All it'll take is just one moment. Say goodbye to how we had it planned. Fear like a habit, run like a rabbit, out and away through the screen door. to